Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds Drafting Team call held on Tuesday, the 23rd of February, 2016. On the call today, we have Tony Harris, Sylvia Cadena, Erica Mann, Russ Mundy, Olga Cavalli, Asha Hermanagini, Alan Greenberg, and Jonathan Robinson. I have no listed apologies for today's meeting. From staff, we have Samantha Eisner, Marika Koning, David Tate, Lauren Allison, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please utilize your mute button when not speaking. Thank you very much for this. I'll now turn it over to Jonathan Robinson. Please begin.
Okay, so hi everyone and welcome. You'll see in preparation for the call, an agenda has been set out, which you can see in the top right-hand part of your screen. And in that notes section, it also describes who the volunteers are from the different chartering organizations. In addition, we have been joined by two board liaisons. It wasn't 100% clear whether the board liaisons were joining the CCWG or the drafting team or both, but welcome to the drafting team, to this first drafting team meeting, Erica and Asha. And in addition, the board has also offered some staff assistance through Nora Abasita and Sam Eisner. So we can come back to that in a moment, but that's the sort of the collection of participants, if you like, and I see almost everyone is on the call. So the origin of this was that we asked each ICANN, ESSO, and AC to identify up to a maximum of two members of the drafting team, the idea being that the drafting team has a specific and limited purpose, and it's best contained to a limited number of members to get the scope sorted out, at which point the work of the CCWG can commence in earnest. GNSO, ALAC, GAC, ESAC, RSAC, and ASO have each designated representatives, whilst the CCNSO has opted not to designate representatives to the drafting team, but has nevertheless indicated a willingness to offer expertise and participation as required. I think GAC and ALAC only identified one representative originally and noted a second member might be forthcoming. I think we may have two from ALAC at this stage now. Am I correct? Alan and Leon. I know we've got Alan, welcome, but I'm not sure we have Leon at this stage. And, of course, Olga from the GAC, yes. It's maybe worth, if anyone would like to say anything as an introduction, just do a round table. If anyone wants to make just a remark and introduce themselves. So let me do that so that we all know who one another are. And perhaps the most logical is just simply do it in the order of participants as they appear on the left-hand side of your screen as the participants in the course. Feel free to go ahead in sequence as listed up on the left and just introduce yourselves.
I guess I'm first. It's Alan Greenberg. I'm the chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee, and At-Large has quite a large interest in this subject, so yes, we are participating. Leon was supposed to be on this meeting. I suspect he may have been distracted by some CCWG activities that are going on, but he may be joining us shortly. Thank you.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That's right.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great, Alan. So good morning from Auckland. My name is Asha Hemrajani, and I'm on the ICANN board. Myself and Erica, we are the two board liaisons. I'm chairing the co-chairing the board finance committee. So money is definitely something of great interest, and we are here to help. Thank you.
Thanks, Asha. Let me skip over David Tate from staff, although Marika might want to say something about the staff support when we come to the end of the list for the moment. We just lost Erica. Oh, hi, Erica. I see you've introduced yourself in the chat, but feel free. So go ahead, Erica next, and then Kava after that.
Okay, my connection is super bad, so I doubt you can hear me.
Yeah, you, Erica, just, but that's fine. You got the introduction in the chat that you hear from as a board representative and your role on the board in that sense is chair of the audit committee. So that's okay.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks, Erica. Kaveh?
Hello. I'm Kaveh Ranjha from Bright NCC, and I'm representing RSAM.
Olga? Sure what happened with Olga, but Olga Cavelli, is, as she highlighted earlier, is a GAC representative on the call. Russ?
Thanks. This is Russ Mundy from the ESSAC. We are indeed interested and wanting to support this effort. We have had some meetings internally already on the topic, and even though the folks may wonder what the level of interest is from the ESSAC in general, it revolves around as usual, security and stability, and trying to put forth our ideas as to how things should proceed with respect to helping the security and stability of the Internet. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we've got Sam Eisner. Feel free to introduce yourself, Sam, and then Sylvia.
Hi, this is Sam Eisner. I'm Associate General Counsel with ICANN. I'm here to help support the board's efforts along with the drafting team, and I think, you know, we'll figure out how staff will figure into the remaining part of the CCWG work as well, but I'm here to support within the drafting team effort right now. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lydia Cadena. I'm Community Partnership Specialist at APNIC. I work coordinating grant funds for the Internet development in the Asia Pacific, and we are very much interested to see how the proceeds of the CLD auction is of the DNS.
Thanks, Sylvia. It was difficult to hear you, so you may want to just type a couple of comments in the chat. Your audio was low, and if you do come in on audio again, if you can just check microphone settings. Thanks. Tony?
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Tony Harris. I'm with the Internet Service Providers constituency and also a GNSO council member. And I was asked by my constituency to cooperate in this drafting team. And perhaps what I might be able to bring to the table is experience as a new GCLD registry, which I am. Thank you.
Thanks. Marika, did you want to come in and introduce yourself and all the staff working with you?
Thank you, Jonathan. So my name is Marika Koning. So I'm a senior policy director and team leader for the GNSO. Together with David Tate, who's also part of the GNSO team, we'll be providing staff support for the drafting team efforts. And I think you've seen already several emails coming from our hands. And of course, if there are any questions or any support you need, especially with regards to call-in info or call-out, Terry is here as well to assist in that regard.
Thanks, Marika. Thanks, everyone. So welcome. That's our group. And I thought it would be useful just as item two to just make sure we're all 100% clear on the objective of the drafting team. And, of course, by all means, raise any points or questions as I highlight that. I mean, essentially, the drafting team is tasked with developing the charter for the CCWG. So the temptation for us will be to talk about all sorts of things, use of proceeds and ideas and concepts and so on. But in essence, we are scoping the work through the preparation of a charter so that the CCWG, which hopefully many, if not all of us, will then work within and is likely to be a much larger group, will be in a good position to do its work in a well-scoped way. That charter will be put to the chartering organizations for their consideration. And in fact, we have a template charter that we can start to work with as a base point and as a base camp, if you like. And this charter, the sort of template, comes out of some work that's been going on in parallel with these two major cross-working groups that have been working on the stewardship transition and accountability. There's been a third cross-community working group that's worked on the principles and mechanics for groups such as this, because it was envisaged a while back that this will become more and more of a norm, this sort of cross-community working group mechanism of working. And so whilst that group's work isn't complete, they are some way down the road, and we're expecting the publication of their principles to be imminent if it didn't happen yesterday, or if not, it'll be very shortly. So actually it's worth probably this group, if you haven't seen it, being aware of that document, the Cross-Community Working Group Principles, as it sort of should provide some helpful insights into the way the broader community has been thinking about the work of cross-community working groups. So here in front of you, you have essentially a charter template, the base, the structure with which we'll work. It's a sort of software type approach, I guess, where it's a statement of work or a charter for the group. Are there any comments or questions at this point? Because this will be the fundamental output out of this group. Okay, seeing none at this stage, I've sort of seized the leadership at this point to try and get us moving, but we will need to, and that's what you see under item three, we really need to think about someone chairing this drafting team and or whether we need a vice chair. In fact, the charter will deal with what sort of approach we take to chairing the CCWG that follows from this, but in the meantime, we need a chair and possibly a vice chair of this drafting team. So I would almost certainly be willing to do that, but I don't want to just presume so. So I don't know if anyone has any comments or thoughts on this or any input you'd like to make at this point. Another way. Oh, there you go. See a couple of hands come up. That's good. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
Thank you. Jonathan, if you're willing to put the time into it, I'm certainly willing to have you do it. And although my time is very limited, I would work with you, but as a vice chair or assistant or whatever. I'm not adamant to doing that, but I will do it if no one else wants to. I think a chair should have some other assistance and someone to bounce things off of if necessary. Thank you.
Alan, appreciate that. Tony?
Yeah, just to say that I support that you should do this, Jonathan, since you're willing and you have such great experience. And I'm also comfortable and happy that Alan has stepped forward.
Okay, seeing a couple of other supportive comments. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Sylvia, in the chat. Let's provisionally put that down then as our structure for running this group. And if anyone wakes up in the middle of the night screaming or gets terrible feedback from your groups, please, by all means, come back to us. But provisionally, we'll put myself then in place as chair of drafting team, supported by Alan Greenberg of ALAC as vice chair. Thank you. Now, in some areas of all of this work, we're finding our way. And we have a recent letter from the board sent to the GSO, essentially proposing and suggesting that our two board liaisons or participants, and here you see a letter from Steve to Steve Crocker, chairman of the ICANN board, to James Bledel, ICANN GNSO chair, talking about that sort of appeared and disappeared, but there's the suggestion of the board participants. So it would be, I guess, useful to hear, as I said, initially it wasn't 100% clear, I think, whether Asha and Erica would be participating in the work of the drafting team. By virtue of the fact that they're here, I'm anticipating that they would like to participate in the drafting team as well as in the CCWG or CWG that derives from this. I guess it would be useful to have any input or thoughts that you have, Asha and or Erica, as to, you know, the role of the board in this. Would you expect to participate alongside the other participants, or do you see yourself more in an observer type of role and just keeping an oversight? And frankly, I don't have a strong view on all of this, but it would be great to hear any thoughts, if you haven't discussed it yet or don't feel in a position to articulate that, then fine, you could come back to us. But just any thoughts or about how you might see your work with the group and your intended participation, maybe also how the board deals with the charter. Is the board going to expect to receive the charter and endorse it in some way as the chartering organizations will? Any thoughts you have or at this stage will be welcome and interesting.
Jonathan, there's two comments in the chat. Asher said she'd be delighted to participate in the chartering process, and Erica can't speak.
Alan, it's good to record that. So we'll note that for the moment. But so we'll take you as active participants in the process and work with you on that. And maybe it's something as we can take as an initial action out of this, is to go back to your board colleagues, talk amongst yourselves as to how you anticipate dealing with the charter. For example, if you'll just, you know, whether or not you will endorse it formally in any way or whether you'll just observe that it exists. So that'll be interesting to hear where you know, any thoughts you have on that. As I understand it, James will draft a response to the letter you see in front of you from Steve Crocker. And I think, has this been shared, Marika? Can you confirm if this letter has been shared with this group? Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. The letter was attached to the agenda, so everyone should have had an opportunity to review it.
Well, you may or may not have had, hopefully. I mean, one of the things that we talked about in preparing for this call was making sure everyone had some good background reading, and you should have seen that. You know, there's the there's a discussion paper, there's the comments on the original discussion paper, report of public comments, and so on. And, you know, Steve Crocker certainly, and I assume to some extent the ICANN board has got some quite strong views about how all of this might work. And so it's really worth reading that and using that as any information and input as you see fit as we start to work on the drafting team work and ultimately into the work of the CWG, I suppose. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just rereading the end of the letter where there are some bullet points which are included, and it would seem to me that these would be, let's say, guidelines that Steve is very interested in. They should be factored into the charter we have to develop.
That's a good point, and those they should be tested within the drafting team. And you're right, if they make sense and given, especially the board's very active interest in this, that it may well be that those find their way into the charter. That sounds sensible. Asha?
This is Asha Hemrajani. So thanks, Jonathan. So I was just going to say the same thing that Tony mentioned. These bullets at the end, we hope, are like initial comments and inputs for the charter. For example, a goal of overhead of no more than 5%. That means not spend more than 5% on the administration of the fund. That's just an example. I wanted to ask about the action point that was typed earlier. Board representatives to confirm how the board is expected to deal with the charter. Can you just elaborate again, Jonathan? Is that something, what exactly would you like us to do? Can you just elaborate again? I may have missed what you said. Thank you.
No problem, Ashton. Finding our way with all of this, because our kind of the sort of historic, or at least the anticipated practice, might be that the chartering organisations have come together. They've said, right, we'll put some volunteers in, those people you see amongst on the call now. We'll pull together and draft the charter. We'll send that back out to our chartering organisations once we're ready to seek their endorsement and essentially their approval of the charter. At which point, we will then be in a position to commission the work of the CWG constrained and defined by that charter. I think it's we haven't got historic experience of having board members participate in this way, and so the board is not technically a chartering organization. And so it's a question of really how will the board deal with the charter? What will the board do? Will it simply say, okay, great, we note that it's happened and we've had satisfactory input, or will the board go a step further and say, we endorse that charter? Would they expect to behave in a way that's analogous to a chartering organization or in some other way? So it's really asking, what are the expectations of the board in relation to that, to the charter? Russ, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I wanted to just raise something here at this point, especially as it relates to one of the points in Steve's letter or email, to engage widely and beyond the standard SOs and ACs. One of the things that was discussed, and, you know, at this point it's completely and totally a group of individuals that happen to be SAC members that were talking about this, but as we discussed it, one of the fairly strongly sounding suggestions that relates to this was that if indeed a foundation of some nature is set up, and that is the eventual end result, that it would possibly be worth considering that other organizations and foundations could similarly participate, In other words, this would not be set up and possibly should not be set up as, if you will, an ICANN exclusive type of organization. And I wasn't sure if this was really a drafting king issue or something more to the CCWG, but I just wanted to point it out so that the drafting team could consider it and if it was reasonable, not outlaw that as a possibility and give others a chance to think about the concept. NLNet Labs and some of the other comments that came in on the initial proposals sort of loosely alluded to it, but I wanted to just bring it to the forefront for people to think about.
Thanks, Russ. It's a useful seed to have that, possibly a little ahead of where we are now, but nevertheless useful to have that, and I think we should keep a hold of that point. There's probably some responses or some other comment in any event. So let me hand over to Alan next.
Thank you very much. I was going to comment on your first thing, but I'll comment on Russ's question or statement also. As you point out, having board members actually work with us is new territory. So clearly, if the board is going to ultimately honor the outcome of the CWG that will make recommendations on auction funds, or at least seriously consider it, then implicitly they are blessing the charter. Whether they formally become a chartering organization, which is an interesting concept, or simply tacitly accept it, clearly they have to have some say in that process. It would be interesting if they were a chartering organization. I'm not quite sure what it would mean, but it certainly would be interesting. In terms of Russ's comment, normally CCWGs, CWGs are open to anyone to participate. Sometimes we have this differentiation between members representing chartering organizations and others. Sometimes we don't. In the case of the CWG stewardship, we explicitly reached out to some other organizations, but we certainly didn't limit participation to those organizations. So I think we have a lot of flexibility going forward. I'm a little bit reluctant to go out to, you know, other foundations and things like that, although there may be lessons to be learned from them. I wouldn't want sort of them trying to take control of the overall process, and I have a little bit of fear of that when I look at some other, not unrelated examples, but some other examples of others coming in and then trying to, you know, steer things very directly in very targeted ways. So I have a little bit of concern, but certainly we have a lot of flexibility in deciding what we want to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan, for input on both topics. Sylvia?
Hope you can hear me now.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. Just a couple of comments. First, I think that taking into consideration that the objective of this group and later on of the CCWG will be about money, I think that the more transparent and the more involved the organization or the members and partners of the that are, you know, care about internet development are the better. And I think that Steve mentioned that on his letter, saying that we should, well, the CCWG should cast a wide net. And I guess that applies for not only for who's involved, but how we endorse the process. And I think that will be very, very important, because when money is involved, then there is a very different vibe around the whole thing. And I think it's also very important that we, on the charter work, we try to concentrate also to be as clear as possible about how to handle the conflict of interest, which I think is one of the main pitfalls that the CCWG will encounter while dealing with this. Steve mentioned three main groups. I think there are more, but that's something for us to discuss later on. And I think that's one of the main issues that we need to address on the chat and is the conflict of interest. Thank you.
Thanks, Sylvia. So those are good points, agreed. So why don't we move on then to pull up the charter, the template charter in front of us, and just get a collective feel for the structure of the document, because what I'm hoping we'll do is then go away and start to flesh out content on this where we see fit and where it's appropriate. So you should have independent magnification and scrolling rights on the document, but essentially, you'll start to see how it's structured. As I said earlier, my sense is it's not dissimilar to something like a project scoping document or even a software specification document. And you've got a problem statement, a set of goals and objectives, and a scope under Section 2. Marika, go ahead.
Yes, this is Marika. I just wanted to note, and I think as you stated in the beginning as well, that this document derives from the work that has been done by the CWG on the CWG principles, and basically tries to bring together some of the best practices or lessons learned from other recent CWGs. As such, you'll see that in some of the areas, some template language has been provided. This does not mean that, that is set in stone. It just kind of demonstrate that is some language that seems to have been stable in relation to recent CWGs and as such has been provided as a starting point. I think similarly with some of the other sections, some guidance has been provided as what it typically includes, but especially the first few sections, which at least from my experience typically provide the heart of a CWG, really what is the scope, what are they expected to work on, what are their expected deliverables, those are probably the areas that will require most of your attention. But even for those, it may be worth, and staff is helping to, happy to assist with that, if we share with you some of the recent CWG charters, so you can actually have a look and see how it has been done in other efforts. And that, again, that may provide some guidance in starting work on specifically these sections as next steps.
Okay, thanks, Marika, for sort of reiterating some of the earlier points and helpfully expanding on others, and that's useful to know that, and I think it will be very helpful. So let's do that. Let's circulate two or three. Could capture that as an action item to circulate two or three recent cross-community working group charters so we've got something directly comparable to look at. And as outlined by Marika, therefore, there's some either initial content or structure to the different sections. And I guess the one thing which we haven't talked about as we develop this document is what the mechanics of doing that are. Do we do this on a Google document, or do we post changes by simply modifying it and give staff the pen to update it? I'm pretty open-minded how to do it, whether we have a kind of online shared document that we edit. That seems to be working well in a couple of other groups I'm working on at the moment, or whether we get staff to keep, updating as we provide red lines to the current document. Marika, do you have any preference? Do you have a preferred way of working? Erica, go ahead. Don't hear audio from you, Erica, and it seems like Marika's open to whatever we decide. So let's see how we go with that. We can potentially. I don't have a strong preference or prejudice. Let's try it with an online document, as Sylvia suggests. Let's get staff to set up us up with an online document. Marika, my suggestion for that is to cut out some of the fancy formatting on this and go back to a sort of pared-back document, because really what we care about is the substance in the different sections rather than the formatting, and it should be a lot easier to edit. So if you could create a less less sort of colorful document that just contains the basic structure. Okay, so there's a point there from Marika with a concern about there's not a single pen holder. That's true, but there's different ways in which you can edit, and I think others may. Let's try and see, and if it works, we've got a bit of support there from Asha and others for an online document. Let's see if we can work with it, Marika, and we'll try and do that. It does. We can always update it and clear. You know, we can use as we come to successive meetings. We can always clear it down to a clean version of the document. Yes, certainly, Asha. To your point in the chat, we'll start off with tracking the changes, and we'll send out some basic instructions. Just make sure we're working on the same method. But essentially, you end up with editing rights, so-called suggestions. I think you make suggestions, and then we can leave the final pen with staff to say, right, there's been these and these suggestions, and we'll work through it at the different meetings, and then produce clean updates as we go. And I think we can probably find a mechanic to work in that way. So I guess highlighting, mindful a little of time, and there does seem to be quite some support for the online doc. So we'll go with that. We'll work with the online document. Let's talk through a couple of the other sections. So we've got, you know, clearly setting out the problem statement and the subsections of that, the scope. We then go on to, in section three, talk about the specific deliverables and reporting. So under reporting, you have an example there where we talk about some standard form text saying the chairs of the CCWG will brief the chartering organizations on a regular basis. And so, you know, to the extent that anyone thinks there should be something added to that, for example, you know, I mean, quite clearly here, it might say the chairs of the CCWG will brief the chartering organizations on a regular basis and the board as and when required or something like that. So feel free to suggest any edits that you think makes sense, but as you said, this is a sort of starting point based on some established experience to date. Some important points here as we go on to things like the membership criteria, and this was really touches on what Alan referred to earlier. So we, you know, A, what we might expect from people, that they had expertise and willingness to commit and so on. And in particular here, if you note, we offer the chartering organizations the opportunity to appoint perhaps a minimum and maximum number. And I guess in doing this, we start to look at, this starts to touch on that area of inclusion and whether or not we have members. I mean, as Alan said earlier, normally there would be no restriction on participants. So I think read through this carefully and either suggest online edits or come in on the mailing list with concerns or questions. Of course, by all means, comment now if you have anything as well, but that's the kind of thing we'll need to settle. There's some square bracketing in here that we either need to say we just remove the square bracketing and accept it, or if there's serious concerns or issues and so on. So we talk about things like membership, you know, openness of participation, appointment of chairs. There's a couple of alternative mechanisms there. I've worked in the CWG on the IANA stewardship with one co-chair over the last year or so, and that's been very effective, just the two of us. On the other hand, I've seen the CCWG working with four co-chairs, that were nominated and essentially appointed from the chartering organizations, and they seem to have done a good and credible job with a team of four. So, you know, that's something we'll need to think about, how we handle the setup of the chairing of the group, what this charter says about that, whether or not we'll need any expert advice. I mean, to some extent, we've been already offered a form of expertise with Sam Eisner participating from ICANN Legal, and that's one area. One of the earlier, the workshop we held at the previous ICANN meeting, we looked at we had input from, and that in fact is covered, I think, to some extent in the discussion document. We had input from some of the CCTLDs who themselves had set up funds and some of their learning experiences. And then we go on to deal with staffing and resources as a last point in section four. So just raise a hand if you have any comments or points, and just doing a very high-level walkthrough of the charter so we're aware, because I'm hoping what will happen is we'll all go away now and start to read it, think about it, and contribute to expanding and developing the content or critiquing it as it exists. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Hi again. I just wanted to say that probably one way to go through the document might be if we try to look at the different parts of the text through different lenses, right? Say, okay, I don't know, on the paragraph about modification of the charter, for example, if there is the need for any specific advice that any of the members of this drafting group sees as a need, right? So then we can ask the questions. We don't have sufficient information about this, so we need to dig more about that or to understand X or Y or Z, but like kind of like paragraph by paragraph. I think if we do that and look at the conflict of interest, expert advice, and how to increase participation, probably those three issues might help us to go to collect our comments and our, have like our thinking hat in the right place to be able to move forward. Because I see some of the text in the template that was shared might raise some issues probably with legal or regarding, for example, what the financial mechanisms use or so there are different pieces, and it might be very hard to have all the knowledge to be able to comment on absolutely everything. So if we just make sure that we highlight when you don't have enough information, when some expert advice, you see a potential conflict.
Thanks, Sylvia. The audio was good at first and then went a little weaker, but if I understand you correctly, I think certainly that can be done. And what I guess I'd envisage is what we should do is go away, look at this document, and then there's really two ways of dealing with it, and they're not exclusive. Those that feel comfortable can edit the online version. Those that would like to propose or suggest or get discussion things going on elements of it can raise those by email on the email list. And in fact, to the extent that it's appropriate, we can ask for staff help to incorporate those edits or changes that seem to be agreed, can go into the document, at least as proposed changes, and then we can walk through that section by section as we go. For example, at the next call, we can make some of the key changes. Russ, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. One of the things that I recall from the leadership training workshop that I participated in, I think it was before the Dublin meeting, although it could have been the Buenos Aires meeting, I've forgotten for sure. One of the concerns that was raised there in a very broad way with respect to the ICANN processes had to do with the whole result of if you end up with disruptive participants and the expected standards of behavior generally give guidance as far as what are the expectations, but the results of how much power chair or co-chairs have as far as handling disruptive behaviors is not well defined. So I guess I would urge members of the drafting team to think about other scenarios in which perhaps a CCWG of one flavor or another had very disruptive behavior, or even general ICANN groups had very disruptive behavior, and how we think it would make sense to deal with that issue potentially here, because when we're dealing with large amounts of money, and I don't think anyone would argue this is large amounts of money, the chances of getting some disruptive behavior, I think, are pretty high. So please, folks, think about that. I hadn't encountered it myself, but many other people in that workshop had, and it is a serious problem sometimes. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ, for that intervention, which I don't think we can consider disruptive. It seems very constructive. They are, if you look, I pulled up the problem issue escalation and resolution process, and it does here in the draft charter talk about the chairs being empowered to restrict participation of someone who seriously disrupts the working group and so on. So, yeah, I think it's a very good, good point. And have a look at that and see if it's, and I suspect what's happened is that kind of workshop that you've been involved with has perhaps influenced the work of the CWG on working on these groups. So hopefully we are making progress down that road, but check that. It's a very good point, and thanks for raising that. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. That reminded me of something. If you go back to Steve's letter, and the first bullet point of controlling costs. As some of us have discussed in terms of costs on the CWG, the stewardship and CCWG accountability, traditionally that is not a chair's responsibility to sort of make decisions that have a cost basis. And, in fact, the chairs typically of a working group within ICANN, be it cross-community or not, have absolutely no clue as to what the costs are or what the budgets might be if indeed there is a budget. Now, I'm not envisioning this group having huge legal costs or, in fact, the kind number of face-to-face meetings that we have seen in the other recent groups. But I think we also need to consider, and over the next couple of weeks, I suspect we're going to see some evolution of just how the CCWG will manage to, in Workstream 2, to control costs, given the fact, the culture that, you know, normally the chairs or co-chairs do not have a lot of discretion to actually make decisions on behalf of the group. So I think as we're drafting this, we're going to have to factor that in. We may have to leave some blanks because the world is changing around us very quickly. But I think we have to make sure that we allow for a future which is quite different from the past. And the issue of disruptive participants falls right into that category, because essentially we're saying the chairs have more discretion and authority than they might have had in the past. Thank you.
Point, Alan. Yeah, and as you say, that's sort of work in progress. And for those of you who haven't been exposed to this issue, just mindful a little that we're heading out of time, but there have been quite some significant costs run up through the whole work on the IANA transition, and more than the quantum of the costs, they've ended up exceeding comfortably the previously allocated budget amounts. And so it's created the early part of a discussion about how to deal with cost management in this type of work. Now, I suppose it's worth highlighting in that context that the transition has been unique in this case, in that there was the recruitment and deployment of outside expertise, and particularly expensive outside expertise, which is unprecedented in all of our history. So in my opinion, it's a very good point to raise, and as you say, Alan, it's something that may well need to be in there, but it's work in progress, and it's not necessarily going to be relevant in quite the same way in other areas, but nevertheless, it is something to consider. And I see Asha's responded, as I think, Asha, you're a co-chair
of the board finance committee. So come in, Asha. Let's hear from you.
Thank you, Jonathan. So I just want to echo a little bit of what Ellen was saying and what I've typed into the chat window. In this charter, I was suggesting perhaps we could add sections on project schedule and timing. I just wanted to understand both from a perspective of the chartering team as well as adding into the future reference for the CCWG itself that there should be a project timing and schedule that they think of in advance and they draw up in advance. So there's two parts to the project timing and schedule that I'm referring to. Then the second point is, as you mentioned, Jonathan, very, very well, you were very articulate about that. We have to look at putting something into the charter or make reference to the charter about cost management from the start. So this has to be not an afterthought, but something that's designed into the process from the beginning. Thank you.
Thanks, Ash. That's the kind of thing that I would hope and expect we can discuss online and propose real content for elements of the charter as we start to do our work. And I guess there is some elements on expert advisors and staffing and resources already in the document, but may well be that we need to, it's almost certain that we sound like we will want to beef that up a little as well. Alan, did you want to add something?
Yeah, thank you. I want to put some of this in perspective. In terms of timing and work plans, that's always traditionally has been the first major step of the working group, be it CCWG or just standard working group. And I'm not sure that we will be able to analyze it, or do we want to analyze it to predict exactly what the work plan is going to be. For us to design a work plan and a time schedule and then walk away and presume somebody else is going to have to work to it, I just don't think is appropriate. But if you look at any of the work we've done over the last several years, we've always had schedules and work plans. Sometimes we meet it, sometimes we don't, because the world doesn't always unfold as we imagine. In terms of costs, I would dare say that other than the CWG and CCWG, ICANN could not even tell us what another working group or CCWG has cost, because we've never explicitly budgeted for it, we've never managed it as such, and in fact probably could not even accumulate the various bits and pieces to put together. So although I'm sensitive to making sure that we don't end up with another fiasco, we want to make sure we're not overreacting to the previous case unless we really believe there is going to be some component of significant extra costs in this one, such as face-to-face, a lot of face-to-face meetings or external costs. You know, the whole concept of face-to-face meetings, for instance, in working groups and CCWGs has largely not existed before. So we're let's not overreact too much to the transition working groups unless we really believe this is going to be another one or have components that are anywhere similar. Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's a good point. I mean, we should be to date that all of that is the exception rather than the rule, and so we should be a little cautious about not doing so. In terms of our work and as a drafting team, I mean, you know, taking Ash's point about things like a schedule and a plan, you know, it feels to me that, and I don't want to preempt the outcome because we can do some more work on this offline, but the kind of thing where we might want to say in the charter that we would require of the group that derives from this charter to set out a schedule and a work plan as a first part of their work or something like that. So whilst I wouldn't expect this group to set out the schedule and the work plan, it would seem to me reasonable that we require that the CWG does do that as an immediate point, and then we might say and seek to identify where external costs would be and so on. So there's ways in which we can handle that from a drafting team point of view. We can essentially set out and appropriately constrain the work of the CWG. Now, we've come to the top of the hour. So I think I'm just checking if there was allocated more than an hour. I personally hadn't scheduled myself for more than an hour, but I see it. I had suddenly a funny feeling that it was scheduled for slightly longer. So let's see if we can't deal with what else we need to. Okay, so if you could just confirm for me, Marika, we scheduled for 60 minutes. That's what I've been.
Yes, this is Marika. That is correct.
We are at the top of the hour. I think that's been a useful. Thanks, Marika.
I think there's a line open that needs to be muted. This is Rick. One thing before we close is I wanted to know that on the item six that staff has abstracted from the public comments that were submitted to the discussion paper a number of comments that may be of relevance for the drafting team to take into consideration. So we did circulate that with the agenda, and we can circulate it again. It may be helpful for you to look at that and see what aspects of those you want to reflect in the charter. As those were specific comments that were provided by those that responded that focused on the charter part of the effort.
Sorry, Marika. We I don't think we heard any of that. So if you could just try and be brief and repeat.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you hear me better now?
Background noise seems to
subside. I'll type my comment in the chat.
Curious, I'm hearing Marika clearly.
Me too.
Okay, some of us had a lot of background noise. It's not clear why that happened. I mean, Sylvia and I had it on, so for whatever reason, we had sound like heavy traffic noise. Okay, in any event, we've set out the scope. I think we understand one another on the objective of the drafting team. We have a plan for a chair and a vice chair, and we can ratify that at the next meeting. We have a letter from the ICANN board, a request back to the board to think a little more, although it's not too much more about the role of the board in all of this. We've got a template charter which we can look at and an agreement to review online. There's also the various background documents, and so we really just need to confirm how we're going to work and meet. We have the opportunity to meet in Marrakesh, and I'm not sure how many of you are going to be there. You may want to put a check mark up in the Adobe room if you do plan to be in Marrakesh and would support a meeting there. We have a slot provisionally scheduled for that. 10th of March from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. So in effect, a sort of breakfast meeting. I've got a couple of check marks up from people in the chat. Let's put a note out to the group and Sylvia, thank you. You won't be there, but you could join Oatly. So let's provisionally put that in. If you have difficulties, in general, we will try and deal with. We had a request for rotating the slots, making sure. Actually, I wouldn't mind if staff can. I'm going to ask staff with respect to meetings for this drafting team if we could just quickly get from everyone what time zone, their principal time zone is, where they're normally located, and that'll help us with scheduling some form of sensible rotation. Thanks, all. Let's call it a day at this stage. We'll be in touch over email. Alan, very brief last point, then we've run over the time. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to note, I will be in Marrakesh, but I already have a 7 o'clock meeting that day.
We'll try and work with you and others to optimize when we meet.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thanks, everyone. Let's call it a day there, and we'll be in touch over next meetings and all the mechanics for starting to edit and work on this document. Thanks again for your input and look forward to working with you all.
Thanks, all.
Well, once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a lovely rest of your day. Operator Ian, if you could please disconnect all remaining lines.